Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church this morning. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. We're glad that you can join us. If you would take your Bibles, let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 4. Let's notice, beginning with verse number 17. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. The Bible says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" This is the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. He's now about 30 years of age. He has been baptized under John's ministry. And now he is going out preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What a message. What a message. Obviously, that's abbreviated. That's the essence of his preaching. But verse 18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Each one reach one. This is part three. In this is our theme for this year, 2021, each one reach one in 2021. There is no greater thing that you or I could do in 2021 than bring another soul to Jesus. It's monumental. A soul rescued from damnation, a soul rescued from the doom of sin. Jesus is the only answer. You know, we have the answer. The answer is not in us. It's not because we're some really smart people or, you know, anything like that above anyone else of the general society, okay? But we have seen a great light. We have seen the truth of God. We have believed the Holy Scriptures. The testimony it gives, not only of creation and how we got here, but we believe that it's foundational, but we've believed that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was miraculously God Almighty, born of a virgin, and he came and became a human being, and he lived a sinless life, and he died a sacrificial death, like the Old Testament imagery of the Lamb that was brought, and his blood shed. Well, Jesus is that lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus died so that wicked people could be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, this is God's heart for humanity. He loved the whole world. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Oh, but they will. There will be a host. Jesus described in Matthew 7 a broad road that leads to destruction. And Jesus said, there are many that are on that road. There's a narrow way, a straight gate. He was speaking of himself, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. And so, we have that message. We have the hope. It's the truth. It's not my opinion. It's the authority of the Holy Scripture, the inspired Word of God. It is the hope that our world needs, the help our neighbors need. Each one reach one in 2021. There is nothing greater we will do than bring others to the Savior. If we could bring one soul to the Savior, it would be immensely worth it all. 2021 would absolutely be a success. And would that not be God's desire to bring another soul? It certainly is. All right, so we've been going through this. This is part three. And we looked last week of how we need to cultivate our own walk with God. We must cultivate our own walk with God. If we're going to reach others, it's so important that we are examining ourselves, that we're getting the proper nutrition spiritually that we need, right? How can we help others unless we first are walking with God? Now, that doesn't mean that we have to be perfect and have, you know, all of every question in our mind answered and be a very well-versed theologian to ever reach someone. No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, there are some people who were rescued by Jesus. Was it the demoniac who lived in the tombs, right? And Jesus sent him back to tell his family, to tell those in his community what great things God did for him. That demoniac didn't have a Bible education. He didn't have a formal training of any sort, but he had recognized who Jesus is, and his life was forever changed, and he was able to carry the message back and tell what great things God had done for him. And that's what we can do. Okay, but it's also important that we are cultivating our own walk with God. All right? The greatest witness for Jesus will come from a person who is walking with Jesus. With Jesus. Jesus said, in fact, in our passage, in our key verse, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You see, following Jesus is key to being a fisher of men. So vital. In fact, God has not chosen to use the angels who were not redeemed, who are not redeemed by the blood of Christ. They didn't need that. They're of a different being than us. They weren't created in the image of God. We were. And you know what? God has chosen not particularly to use the angels, although they serve, they're ministering spirits, they accomplish God's purposes, and the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those who fear him to deliver them. That's a blessing. But the fact of the matter is, God has chosen to use his people, those who have been lost and who are saved by the blood of Christ, those who've come by faith. God's chosen to use us. We are a vital part of getting the gospel to our fellow man. God has chosen it that way. You know, I think in terms of walking with Jesus, I think about Enoch, the seventh person from Adam. The seventh from Adam, the Bible calls him. He had a testimony. Genesis 5 tells us that he walked with God. Now, he didn't die. 365 years of age, the Bible tells us that God took him. He was not, for God took him. And let's go to Hebrews and see what it says a little bit about Enoch in Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews, in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, we'll begin. The Bible says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." That he pleased God. And then it goes on in verse 6 to tell us, without faith it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Enoch diligently sought God. Enoch believed God. In Enoch's time period, in the first 1,000 years of humanity, right, on planet Earth, after creation, there's Enoch. and he walked with God. He believed God. While most of the others in the world at that time were not following God. They were not worshiping God. They were not obeying God. But Enoch was. Enoch walked with God. It's remarkable. It stands out from many. Stands out from the majority. And you know what? In 2021, I think that if you're going to be a Bible Christian, you're going to have to be similar to an Enoch who walks with God, who believes God, who has faith that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's worth it all to live for Jesus. You've got to have that mindset because that is true. It is worth it all. When things seem to be going the other way, you know what? Enoch's world got worse and worse. So bad that it wasn't but a few hundred years and the flood came and destroyed mankind. Well, about 500 or so, 600 years, I'm not sure exactly without looking closer at it. But you know, it was a few hundred years that the flood came on the earth and destroyed mankind, who had become so vile, so violent, so wicked, that it grieved God at his heart. And God determined he would destroy every man, woman, child, and all the animals that were other than the ones he saved in the ark, destroy the planet because of the wickedness of man, other than Noah and his wife and his three children and their wives. Eight people God spared. The society was wicked. Enoch was walking with God. But you know what? The society was going the other way. But he still had a testimony that he pleased God. Listen, if no one wants to hear your testimony, if no one wants to follow Jesus, that should not deter you from walking with Jesus and continuing to be a light in a dark world. We must cultivate our own walk with God. Very important for us to be that kind of witness. Matthew 5, verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." You can glorify the Father. You can have a testimony that you please God. Enoch did, and others have as well, and you and I can. Very important. So, we talked about that, cultivating our own walk with God. A lost world needs to see that we legitimately care for them. In this world of so much hate, wouldn't it be a different scenario if those you worked with, if those you lived near, if those you saw had a recognition that, hey, now there's someone who's honest. There's someone who not just says they love God, but there's someone you can see that they love God. They serve God in their life. That testimony is the testimony you and I should desire. And those aren't testimonies that you can fraudulently acquire. But we must walk humbly with God. Humbly with God. We need a care for souls, a care for souls. The need all around us, we must bring that hope that is only found in Christ. You know, so many people in our world, as we looked at some statistics in part one of the demographics of even North Dakota, and I believe it was 30% of North Dakota identifies as Catholic, 35 as Lutheran, and so on. It breaks down to, I think it was 85% identify as Christian of one flavor or another, you know, in that survey. Many people in our area are religious. I believe per capita, North Dakota has the highest church attendance in that study, right? The highest church attendance than any of the other states per capita. That's remarkable. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, many people are religious but lost. Religious but lost. Go for just a moment over to Romans 9. I know we touched on this before, and I want the scripture to be before your eyes. Romans chapter 9, and verse 30, because I think this is who we're trying to reach in so many instances, is people who have a belief in God, right? They believe in the existence of God. They know some things about Jesus, but many of those people, not all, but many people are lost. They are still in their sins. They have not come by faith for salvation. And consider Romans 9 and now verse 30. What shall we say then that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? So the Gentile world, they didn't have the Old Testament scriptures. They were not known for followers of God. They were pagans, by and large, with the broad brush. They were pagans. But yet, the scripture identifies that by the droves, they came to Christ. They attained to righteousness. Many, many Gentiles have received the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, they had the scripture. They were faithful in church, you might say. They were quote unquote believers. All right, us to a certain level. Israel, which followed not after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. It's shocking. There's a shocking example here. Verse 32 says, wherefore, why is this? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. So we have the religious all around us, but many who have stumbled at the stumbling stone of faith. There's such a focus on works, and many religious denominations, that is their message. It's a message so heavily based on works and a person's own doings rather than on faith, simple faith in Jesus alone to atone for our sin. Notice down here in chapter 10, verse 3. Chapter 10 and verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What a statement we have here. That you can be so close and yet miss it. And we need to be sensitive as we consider people around us. It's not enough to talk to someone and say, oh, hey, you believe in Jesus? Oh, you believe those things? Hey, that's great. Well, have they truly come by faith to trust Jesus alone? That is an important question. We're not trying to split hairs. We're trying to point people to the way of salvation. It's Jesus alone, not Jesus and something else, not Jesus and your church, Jesus and your performance level, Jesus and your good works and good deeds and your commitment to the sacraments or whatever. This is not the way of salvation. In fact, Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 tells us that salvation is by grace. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's to the exclusion of works. Works can be that stumbling stone that prevents a religious person from truly being saved. So as we care for souls, we need to be careful to feel people out. Where is their confidence? I think of the surveys that we've done, and we need to do those again. God willing, maybe we can do some more this year in the surveys at the door, where we're asking people specific questions about what do you believe the Bible is? Who do you believe Jesus is? Do you believe someone can know for sure they're going to heaven? Those questions tell a lot about where someone's at. And many people do not, though religious, do not have the confidence in the right place. Their confidence is in their works instead of His work for them. And that's a very important distinction. So, we need to care for souls. We also need to consider for whom we'll pray. I want to emphasize the 2021 plan. I've presented it in each of these previous two messages, the 2021 plan. That's 2021. And it's a prayer plan for praying for two relatives or friends. Two relatives or friends under the first two. The zero, the O in the 2-0 is for who?
Us.
For us. Why?
Because we're
empty and we need his filling. I'm nothing, Lord. Oh, me. Oh, me. That's what I wrote on my paper. I put a little H by the zero and me. And maybe an exclamation point. Oh, me. Because that's our need. Oh, Lord, I can't without you. So we're talking about the first two relatives or close friends that we're going to pray for. Those that we aren't sure where they stand with God. We're going to pray for them. Praying for ourselves that we can be used of God. Secondly, on the second two there, community members. Two community members. Something of that nature. And then the last one, the number one, a coworker or a neighbor. And again, we can switch those up, but I want to make sure you've got five names. Five names, in addition to yourself, that you're praying for their need of salvation. Very important. Then, we need to contemplate a plan to plant and water the gospel seed. Contemplate a plan to plant and water. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. How many people can find on the branches of your tree something that is life-giving, right? That's like, hey, you were a blessing. That testimony, you know, you've encouraged me. In this low time in my life, I was able to talk with you, and you pointed me, you gave me a Bible verse, you prayed for me, you prayed with me, you said you'd pray for me, whatever the case may be. You know what? You can be an instrument that God can use, whether it's in your school, whether it's at your workplace, whether it's the neighbor across the backyard fence, whatever the situation, you can make a difference in someone's life. We're talking first and foremost about being a real Christian, walking with Jesus. Not a put on, not a smile we pasted on, but walking with Jesus and honoring God in our daily life. Demonstrating to the world how much we care. You know, someone said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We need to care for people. People that are difficult. People that are obnoxious. People that have problems. I'll tell you what, sin brings a lot of baggage. A lot of problems. But we need to care about people in their need. Jesus sure did. And incidentally, he told us that the two greatest commandments are to love him with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. That's the fulfillment of all of God's law. That's the two pins on which all of the commands hang. And so, we must love our neighbor. We must love people around us. So we're praying for these five people, and we are looking for ways to reach out to them, okay? The prayer is more important. You know, if we could say prayer is, we should be that's point A through Z, right? Praying for that person. Praying for that person. We can't do anything more until we've prayed. And we can't do anything more than pray. Prayer is the most powerful tool we have. So we're praying for those five people. But you know, I want to just consider a few ways that you could reach out to this to these individuals on this prayer list, on the 2021 plan. Think about a birthday card. Just a birthday card. I mean, everybody has a birthday, okay? And if it's not already passed, which for some it is, and I've missed a few. I missed yours, brother. And you know, that happens. But you know what? sending a birthday card to this person that you're praying for, that can be just a little token that you're thinking about them, right? Even if it's a coworker, you know, don't just say happy birthday at work. Go ahead and, you know, that if you're praying for that person, if this person on you, just send that card in the mail. You know, it's just that much more of a personal touch. And in that birthday card, more than just saying happy birthday and hope you have a great day or what have you, go ahead and write out John 3:16 in your handwriting as best as you can. Just write that out in that card, right? Because I'll tell you what, there's a personal touch. Far more than buying a card that has scripture. I'm all for cards that have scripture already printed. But I'll tell you what, a handwritten verse is that personal touch. And it's far more, that physical card is far more of a personal touch than a text message or a Facebook message. That has its place, but you know what? That personal touch is just more impactful. It is. It's just more of a meaningful thing. So consider when that individual's birthday is and send them a card. Now, maybe if it's already passed, that's all right. Chalk it down for next year. But you know what? That's something you can do with a scripture verse in there like John 3:16. Maybe there's a time of need in their life. Maybe they were your coworker and now they lost their job. Stop by, talk with them, visit, whatever. Let them know that you care for them, that you're concerned in this time. Maybe it's appropriate to send a card in a time of need. Maybe you know that someone in their life has been really sick and that someone's passed away that they love. You know, remember them. Send them a card. And again, put a scripture verse that's appropriate in that card. Those are important things. You can send, different kinds of cards. Even at Easter, which is coming up, you could send a card and put a Bible verse in there about the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, there's just a little seed. You know, this morning I was going to bring a flax seed. I have some flax, and it's left over from some farming I did back in, I think it was 2011. But I have some flax that I guess I could kind of say I grew. And I was going to bring that. I kind of, with the technology issues, I forgot to get that part together. But you know what? That little seed, you can't put that in a little cup of dirt, and just put it in there and maybe put a little water in there and be like, hey, it's not coming up. It's been 15 minutes now, Oh, how come nothing happening, Why isn't it coming? Come on, hurry up already. We can plant the gospel seed and we can sometimes be like, it doesn't seem to make a difference. Nothing's happening. Well, just like the power of a little seed takes time to produce. But you know what? Those seeds will produce. They are obviously, most will if they're germinated or what have you. But you know what? The gospel, the Bible tells us, is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, or verse 16. Notice that, Romans 1, verse 16. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Friends, the power is not in yourself. It's not how you are going to save someone. It's how you're going to just plant that little seed. That little seed. And put a little water in now and then, right? Put a little water in and pray. That's what it's about. It's not about us being such a charismatic personality that we can just talk to anybody and be so winsome in our vocabulary. No, that might be a hindrance. That could definitely be a hindrance to false professions of faith. We want God to do the work. And the power is not in us, but it's in the little seed. As unpowerful as it may appear, that little scripture you wrote, that word you said to the neighbor, to the coworker, or what have you, to the relative. So look for ways that you can simply plant and water the gospel seed. Boy, there's lots of other ways. You know, for kids, I mean, making a coloring picture and, you know, with maybe with some help, writing out a scripture verse or some, or having a page that has a scripture on it that you that the kids color and send to another friend. Those are ways to plant the seed. Inviting people to church, inviting people to join online. Those are things that can make a difference. We have nothing to hide. We have nothing to hide if we have a genuine care for people and want to see them know the truth and trust Christ. It's a blessing. We endeavor to open the scriptures, to answer questions, to bring truth to the skeptic. Whatever the case may be, we want the light. We are not wanting to hide anything. So invite someone and be prepared to be faithful for the long haul. The long haul. We just read a letter from the Bradleys, and they referenced that in 2013, on furlough, they witnessed to some family. And, you know, it takes time for the gospel seed to sprout sometimes. And we need to be patient with people. But if you love them and you are faithful for the long haul, through prayer and patience, we will see fruit. We will see fruit. And so the challenge is each one, reach one. First and foremost, we must be praying. The 2021 plan. Please, if you haven't established your 2021 plan and those five individuals you're praying for, you need to. You must. It's important. God can use you. God can use you. And then consider ways that you can just gently and kindly plant that seed. Okay? And there's lots more ways, obviously, that we could talk about, but our time is up for today. But be a follower of Jesus first and foremost, and allow him to make you a fisher of men. Praise God. God will help us. God will make us that which we need to be.